This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of April 11th, 2013, convening at 8:43 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:43 p.m. Pacific Time. Summer Reese, Chair. Heather Gray, Vice Chair. Richard Uzzell, Secretary. Mr. Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Okay. Heather, timekeeper.
If Heather will be the timekeeper, that would be fantastic.
Okay. All right, here's the roll.
Thank you.
Heather Seeger.
Brian's here.
Okay. Rosenberg. Siegel, he's still out of country?
Yes.
Okay. Wilkerson.
Here.
Wilkerson.
I'm here.
Diaz. Oh.
Present.
King.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Norman.
Present.
Stitt. She said she might be late. Razan.
Here.
Grimshaw.
Present.
Medina. Reese.
Present.
Okay. Allen. Allen. Apollinar. I can't hear Allen or Apollinar. Henschel. Who's that? Who's that? All right, Uzzell, here. Did somebody just come on? Burden?
Yeah.
Foleman? She said she might be late, too. Roberts? Serena, can't hear you. Sabah?
Present.
Sabah?
Present.
Ray?
Here.
Lane Ewart?
Here. Serene is here, Richard. Can you hear me now?
Who was that?
Serene is here.
Oh, I got you. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
You've got quorum, Madam Chair. One minute, please, from Texas. Yes,
thanks. And Mr. Secretary. Okay, I presume there is no objection to excused absence for Dan Siegel, as he has previously notified the board of his absence from the country at this time, or at least from availability on meetings. If there's no objection, we mark him excused. All right, thank you. Tracy told me that she would be in and out of the call this evening, and I'm not sure about anyone else. I do not recall any other requests for excused absences. So. All right, very good. So, everyone, thank you. Good evening. It is a continuation meeting, so we can spare ourselves the chore of agenda approval and jump straight into the matters on the agenda where we left off 2 weeks ago. I believe the first motion.
Madam Chair, this is Heather. I'm going to offer you the timekeeper again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Heather. And as a reminder, if I recall, Heather, we had agreed that people would have 90 seconds as their time to speak. Is that correct?
90 seconds is their time to speak, but if they're introducing or motivating the motion, they have a minute and a half.
2 minutes, I think. 90 seconds is a minute and a half. Yeah,
sorry, two minutes.
Okay.
All right, 2 minutes. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for the correction.
Okay, thank you. And also, if you can help us stay on our times for agenda items when we get to the 10 or 15 minutes allotted for an item so that people keep track of that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So the first matter that is on the agenda is under motions from committees and tasks. Forces. It's A, Financial Reform Audit Task Force, FRAT, Unbudgeted Obligations Management. Move that any employee in a managerial position who becomes aware of an unapproved, unbudgeted obligation in excess of $5,000, who does not notify the national office in writing within a reasonable amount of time, shall be subject to disciplinary action.
and that's the first motion on the agenda. Is there
point of order?
Brian here.
Hi, Brian, and I'm sorry, Serene, was that a point of order?
This was Lydia, sorry.
Oh, sorry, Lydia, I didn't recognize your voice. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to propose...
That item. Oh.
I'm sorry?
Who would you like to go ahead, Summer?
No, go ahead,
I'm thinking Lydia, because she had the point of order. Thank you, Brian. Sorry, go ahead. Lydia?
No, I thought this item was completed at the last...
You know what? Thank you. I was feeling a little Groundhog Day there myself. I think that we did vote on this already.
No, you didn't, Madam Chair. You voted on...
Was it carried over?
This one is the next on the deal. The other one was unbudgeted obligations, period. This is management, slash management.
Okay.
And they all came out of the FRET.
Correct. Okay, thank you. Brian?
I wish to offer an amendment to add the following paragraph at the end of the motion. If the executive director becomes aware of any unbudgeted obligation at the Pacifica National Office in excess of $5,000, she or he shall notify the Pacifica National Board in writing within 5 working days. Failure to do so shall be grounds for disciplinary action.
Is there a second?
Second.
Who is the second? Is that Roberts?
Indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Teresa Allen is on the line.
Okay, Teresa, thank you.
Okay. Point of information.
Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, Brian, you're going to send me that, right?
Yeah.
Is the person that would be subject to whatever, is that the ED?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, send me that, please.
Okay, thank you. Discussion or stack? We have a motion on the floor and an amendment.
We'll be taking up the amendment first, right?
Right, but do you wish to speak to either one?
Yeah.
I think he needs to motivate his motion, please.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead, Brian. Did you want to motivate your amendment?
I just think if we're going to be passing these policies, we should be consistent. According to the financial statements we have now, the worst overspending in the network is happening inside the national office, and we've gotten little to no explanation of why that's the case. If we're going to hold managers at the stations accountable for overages of $5,000 or more, then we need to apply the same accountability to the executive director for the budgets that she or he directly manages.
Okay, thank you, Brian. And I just want to say one thing to that. Many of those things that are perceived as spending over budget are, in fact, things along the lines of paying legal bills that haven't been paid in 2 years because no payments were made on them. And so some of the things which are showing up as being over budget are, in fact, taking care of things that already were on our books that need to be handled. And
then they're being booked incorrectly.
Well, no, they weren't paid at all, is my point.
Richard, just
but they should have been accrued when you got the bill, not when you cut the check.
I think we may be speaking apples and oranges. I'm simply saying some of the things that we are seeing, because I remember legal bills were specifically brought up as an issue, and those are all bills generated before I was in this position that are simply being paid now. And the other thing is I do believe the board does need to take up the fact that someone has a child in the background. Perhaps you could mute. And this is a larger discussion than can probably occur in the context of this motion, but that the National Board simultaneously states that there are several positions working in the National Office under the direct supervision of the ED. Those positions are not filled, and those positions' salaries are not budgeted into the budget. So if one fills the positions which theoretically exist in the office and which require supervision for the output of those positions, and they're not budgeted to pay the salaries on those people, it's an incongruity which the board needs to deal with because it's not living in the land of reality, and that's part of our present context also. So just to put some reality on it, we don't have reality between the budgets and everything else we say is happening in not only the national office, probably other parts of the network as well. But, I will say no more on the matter. Who else wishes to speak? Margie, did you wish to be on the staff?
Yes, please.
Go ahead, please.
I just want to agree with Brian and say that I think it's really important that whatever policies we establish be applied universally throughout the organization. I was very disappointed in the text of the policy that was passed last month, and I have the same concern about this policy, because it says it refers to the national office, and for me, the national office is a place, not an individual person, and I don't know how someone reading this would know who specifically in the national office they ought to be talking to. I think it's a source of confusion and bad business to not be clear about who we think should be notified. So that's my concern.
Thank you. Other people on staff? Okay. Anybody else?
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
And Richard for the stack.
Well, I think of the national office not only as a place, but also a staff. And we have a CFO, and we have finance staff that handles finances. And when we approve budgets, we have working groups, or what do you call them? Units. We have units. We have five stations, and they have budgets. So if they're making purchases, they're not in their budgets, somebody that made those purchases has to be held accountable. And we have a national office budget, so if the CFO has a national office budget and decides to spend, let's say, $75,000 on computers that hasn't been run by anybody and it's not on the budget, then we would expect the executive director to supervise the CFO or the national board to say what's going on if it's not in the budget. And we expect things to be brought to us and say, hey, we have this concern that needs to be dealt with, so run it by us. We've got contracts with the Democracy Now, understandings with various organizations, so I think this does make sense. But, I mean, and that's just because we're dealing
Teresa,
with...
Teresa, your time's up. I'm sorry.
That's
your
okay. Thank up, you thanks. For your time.
Bye.
Thank you, Teresa. Richard?
First off, a question. Does Brian's motion, is that tacked on to this motion at the end?
It's an amendment.
Correct.
It's tacked on right at the end.
Correct.
Why isn't that redundant? Because it says up in the motion that any employee in a managerial position, that would include the ED, that would include the CFO, that would include everybody.
May I answer?
Employee.
I'm sure, Brian, go ahead.
It's not redundant because it tells those people to report to the national office, which puts the national office in a position of supervising itself. So this requires that expense overages in the national office be reported to the board. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I understand the intent of your amendment.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't know that it's necessary. And I think it's a little draconian in that, what did you say, 5 days, and then we're going to hang the ED or something? I don't know. I don't think we need to go after the ED, whoever that is. I think that the purpose
John
of
the
this
stack.
Motion...
John to the stack, purpose, please.
John, the purpose of this... motion, as I understand it, and it came out of a whole year's worth of stuff at Pratt, I think, last year, is to start start reining in folks that are spending money that's not budgeted, and I think it's fine the way it is. I don't think we need it.
Thank you, Richard. John Crumshaw and then Tracy Rosenberg. John, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to say that to me, it seems like a step in the right direction, and it's the intent of the motion is clear. We should approve this motion, and if we find that there's need for further, amplification, then we can certainly do that. But as it stands now, it's a big improvement over the way things were without this. So I would favor defeating this amendment and voting for the main motion. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Tracy?
Well, the intent of this set of motions, we passed the first at the last meeting, and now we're looking at the second, were really to address issues of communication between the national office and the stations. It's not unusual that there are unbudgeted obligations. However, it's a problem when that information does not manifest until extremely late in the process, because then there's expenses and no revenue to pay for them. Since it's basically a communications and a sort of anti, shall we say, local secrecy motion, I'm a little bit confused by the purpose of the amendment. The purpose of the amendment seems to be to inform the national office. The problem is that the stations were not communicating with the entity that is sometimes the fiscally responsible party and has to come up with the money if the stations can't come up with it.
Janet,
so
here.
It seems to me that you're basically compelling the entity that's spending the money to tell itself that it's spending the money, which I believe that it already understands. You know, that.
We lost you, Tracy. Can't hear you.
Hello, Janet Coleman's here.
Hi, Janet. Thank you.
Hey, hi.
Manish, I asked that, and also Tracy was hard to hear anyway.
Yeah, Tracy, are you still trying to speak? Because we can't hear you. All right. Tracy, if you can hear us, we can't hear you anymore. Manish, did you wish to speak or no?
Yes, yes, please.
Go ahead, Manish.
I have a question about this motion, and that is, does it mean that I was following Tracy's, and I was clear to me what Tracy was saying. But this motion, Brian's motion, is it that you want the executive, the ED, to report to the board budgeted item that she or he needs to spend and get authorization from the board beforehand? And
no.
That's my question. And also the issue of 5 days, I don't know how, if this is passed, how this is going to be managed. I want to understand this because
No, it's just notification. It's not authorization. Just that she send a note saying, heads up, we're spending more than $5,000. I've just found out we're spending more than $5,000 more than budgeted on whatever it is. And it's the same requirement that we would be establishing for general managers if this motion were to pass.
Okay, so just only so...
thank you for the stack, if I could have a second go round.
So it could be a notice to the board?
Yes.
An email that this money is being spent for this amount, for this thing. It was unbudgeted, but we are spending it. Or I have spent this amount of money within the 5 day of expenditure of the money?
Whenever she becomes aware of it, it wouldn't necessarily be the executive director who spent it.
Who spends the... Oh, maybe from the... You mean also from the stations?
No.
Not from the budget... national office.
A secretary in the national office could order $5,000 worth of toilet paper. Summer would probably be unhappy about that when she found out. We would also want her to give us a heads up that she had just found that out.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. Thank you so much, Brian. Yes.
You bet.
Carolyn on the sack, please.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go to Tracy just because she got cut off and let her finish her thoughts, and then I'll go to you, Carolyn. Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, I think we essentially have to get back to the purpose of the motion. The reason that you would want the stations to notify the national office if they're spending money over their budgets really has to do with the issue of cash flow. and informing the national board that too much money has been spent does not really accommodate the same purpose, because we're not involved in the details of cash flow. In other words, we're not the ones that are going to solve the problem. The national office is the one that's going to have to solve the problem. So there's a functional sort of mismatch about what's being proposed in the commitment. In other words, the board, knowing this, doesn't, the board is not the entity that would address such an issue. The second thing is, I'm wondering why the board doesn't have any interest in unbudgeted obligations when they're not from the national office. Wouldn't we want to be notified of the stations as well? It seems a little out of sync that if it's from six of our divisions, we would notify the national office. If it's from one of our divisions, we would notify the PNB. Well, you know, if the PNB wants to pay attention to those kinds of details of cash flow, then the PNB should ask to be informed by all seven divisions. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't see the purpose of the amendment in line with the original purpose of the motion or any other sort of actual purpose that I can ascertain. So I would encourage us not to pass this amendment. It kind of sounds like a waste of time. Thanks.
Brenda to the stack.
Brian for stack.
Okay, I'm going Carolyn and then Brenda. I'll see if anybody else wants to speak that hasn't spoken, then I'll come back to you. Okay, I'll come to you last, since you're the motivator of the amendment. Okay, Carolyn.
Hey, Madam Chair. This is Jessica. I'm on the call.
Oh, hi, Jessica. Okay, thank you. All right, Carolyn, you're next.
Yes, thank you. I would vote against this amendment. It just more sand in the gears. We have, or we're soon going to have, I hope, a CFO who will look at these things, and I don't think we need a budget targeting one unit as opposed to all the others. So I would say let's just pass the original motion, which is definitely needed, and not complicate things with Brian's amendment, however well-intentioned it may be. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Brenda, you're next.
Okay, so a couple of things. Sorry, I wasn't there for the roll call.
Brenda, can you speak up?
I can't hear her.
Yeah, go ahead, Brenda.
Hello?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay. So the issue that I wanted to bring up is in regards to, one, the original motion, and then, two, to the amendment. So the first thing in regards to the original motion, I don't know if it was discussed already. I want a quick response. Did we get HR approval for that motion?
I have not run any of these motions past present to AHR, so I can't give anybody
okay.
Past, but
so,
I don't know.
So first off, I do not feel that this motion should be in place if it hasn't been run by HR, because the way that it was worded is worded in a way that I could potentially see causing litigation, because it seems like a one-way street. Now, the amendment, the way that I understand it to be, is this kind of keeps an accountability measure for all entities within Pacifica. So not only management, but the CFO or the executive director, as well as informing the PMB. Now, the national office as an entity is problematic because it doesn't give any particular person any sense of accountability, because the national office can be an administrative assistant and a CFO, not any particular person. So I think we need to make sure that we include
your
the amendment.
Your time is up.
Okay, thanks. Include the amendment in order to be able to clarify that language. Thanks.
Is that for the stack?
Madam
yeah,
Chair, I just want
dead.
You to. I want you, Madam Chair, I just want you to know, Summer. I just want you to know that we've gone about over 15 minutes on this already. I gave some more time because of the amendment to the motion. So,
okay,
you
thank
know
you.
That.
Okay, so we're at time on the item. Does anyone wish to move for more time on this item, or shall we go to a vote? There's no movement for additional time. Okay. I'm sorry?
I'll move to extend by 5 minutes if Luzette wants to speak before me, since she's not spoken yet.
I'll second that. I have a question.
Right.
Can we make an exception?
Brian moved. Who is the second place for the record?
Actually, this is Serene. I want to substitute 7 minutes because I also want to ask a question.
Okay, but did you second the 5 minutes?
Sure, I'll second it so we can substitute it.
Okay, is there any objection to extending 5 minutes on this matter?
Yes, I'd like Carolyn objects.
Okay, so we'll take a vote on extending 5 minutes. There's an objection. If you wish to extend 5 minutes. Yes.
Can we just choose 5 or 7?
Sorry, 5 or 7 what?
Minutes.
No, the motion on the floor is a 5 minute extension. I'm not sure where the decision came from.
Right, and I'm making a substitute motion of 7.
I'm sorry. I thought you were seconding the 5 minute motion. You can't second the 5 minutes to make a substitute of 7. That's not functional.
Well, that's what I did.
I'll second the 5 minutes.
Thank you. Is that Margie?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Margie. We've got a motion for 5 minutes of extended time on the floor and an objection. Mr. Secretary, call the roll, please. If you support extending 5 minutes on this item, then vote yes. If you do not, vote no. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Can I just make a quick point of information? Wouldn't it be faster if we chose now between 5 and 7 instead of voting one way on 5 and then having to go back and discuss 7?
There's a motion on the floor for 5 minutes, Serene. I don't make the rules. I'm just trying to get through using them, okay? There's no way to substitute for an extension of time. 7 minutes, 5 is what.
Okay, dear. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Please call the roll, Richard. If you support extending to 5 minutes, just vote yes. Do not vote no.
Ask for objection first.
I did. I already got that, Brian. That's why we're voting on it.
Oh, sorry.
Please hold. That's okay. Go ahead, please.
Okay, Summer, you might need to do something with your phone. It's not very...
Who is it?
Okay, folks, take your phone off hold and or whatever, and please answer. Edward Stinker.
Yes.
Rosenberg.
No.
Wilkinson.
Yes.
Diaz.
Yes.
King.
Yes.
Norman?
Yes.
Ted? Verzon?
Yes.
Grimshaw? Can't hear you, John. John Grimshaw? Medina?
Yes.
Alan?
Pass.
Apollinar?
Pass.
Mitchell? Giselle, I'm going to abstain. Burden?
No.
Coleman?
Yes.
Roberts? Can't hear you, Serene. Saba? Monage?
Abstain.
Gray?
Yes.
Lane Ewart?
Yes.
Alan, I think, passed.
Alan says yes.
And Crimshaw? Did you ever, are you there? John, I can't hear you. And Roberts, did I get you?
Sure, yes. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Looks like with some extension, 2 extensions.
Okay, thank you. So we are extended 5 minutes. I have Lizette King and anyone else who didn't speak once already, and then Brian. Lizette?
Janet wants to. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And this,
thank you.
The importance of this
motion cannot be slighted. So I want to thank everybody who did vote to extend to 5 minutes. Chair, what I'd like to find out is how does this affect us at the local level? I do appreciate the PNB having to know what's going on, but it doesn't seem to address the LSBs knowing what's going on. As in the case of PFW, we are struggling to get information on expenditure. So how does it affect us? And would this motion be going to them at any rate?
It will not help elucidate matters for the LSB. General managers are already required to bring expenditures over $5,000 to their local finance committees and their local station boards. That's frequently not adhered to. This motion arose specifically out of a situation where a manager budgeted a $38,000 venue for a one-night event and lost $50,000 on the event. That's how this motion came about. It does not address your desire to have the boards know. There are already policies in place that say managers are supposed to bring these issues to their local boards. They just frequently do not. It was intended on making sure there was oversight of the executive director of the general managers over those specific types of contractual issues. It probably does not address your concern sufficiently, Lizette. The main motion I'm speaking of, not the amendment, of course. So,
and is there any
we're back to whether or not people adhere to the policies we already have, which is not the case frequently. Anything else, Lizette, before I go to Janet?
Not at the moment, no.
Because I'm late, I wondered what additional intelligence the amendment brings to the body. I mean, what's enhanced for us by having, I guess it's more a two-way street. If you could just elucidate that a little bit for me.
Brian, hear me out?
Yeah.
So the main motion says if a station is going over budget by $5,000, the manager has to tell the executive director.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing saying what happens if the national office goes over budget by $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My amendment says when that happens, the executive director needs to tell the board, so that there's oversight of the national office's spending as well as of the station spending.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brian. Janet, did you have anything else?
I think that's fine.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else that hasn't spoken? Okay. Brian, did you feel you had to say anything further?
Yeah, I just want to wrap up. I think we should think about being consistent. If we're establishing the standard for general managers, and I think it's a good one, we should have equivalent oversight on national office spending. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I have to say that one of my frustrations as a new national board member is that we received financial statements showing the national board was $350,000 over on expenses in a three-month period and have not received any written explanation of why. And there can be very good reasons for those overages. But as board members, we're not able to perform a fiduciary level of care if we're not kept in the loop about this stuff. So it's just a requirement that the executive director notify the board, not even that the executive director seek prior authorization, but that they keep us in the loop. And right now, I think that's what's missing.
Thank you. I think we're at time. Anybody else?
Yeah. Well, this is Tracy. I've already spoken twice. I don't know if I can speak again. If I can take a minute, I will.
Brian spoke three or four times ago.
Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Summer?
Is that green?
Yeah, I was trying to be heard earlier. I didn't speak. That's why I was trying to extend.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Tracy, I'll go to you, and we'll be done. Go ahead.
Okay, so
okay.
I'm sorry, Summer, did you call on me?
I'm saying Serene because she hasn't spoken, and then I'll let you have your last
one. Oh, okay, thank you.
Sorry, Serene, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So I'm wondering if we have time for a further amendment. It's just a little tweak.
I'm not sure that you can amend once there's an amendment on the floor. I think you can do a substitute.
No, I think you can. I think there can be an amendment to an amendment. I think you're allowed two things on the floor.
Don't read a time.
At any rate, let me just say what it is.
which is that we would also ask the IED to provide us, the PND, with notice of managers' out-of-budget spending. Because the motion as originally presented said that, you know, the national office must be informed if managers overspend. And Brian's amendment was, and the national office, if the national office overspends, then the board must be informed. And I'd also like to have the board notified if managers overspend.
Benito.
Okay. First, is there a
point of information?
What's the information, Richard? Go ahead.
Okay. When you come in like that and you add something, you amend to add something, it should be very specific. You should say, I'm going to write at such and such place, I'm going to put in these words and say.
Oh, sure. I understand. I'd be happy to tell you where.
Okay, let's do it. And I need that amendment from Brian, too.
Brian sent it to the entire board some time ago. Sorry?
Okay, thank you. All right, so the amendment.
I don't think so.
I have it at 8:49 my time. But, okay, can I? You need to be looking
Summer,
at it.
Summer, we're at 5 minutes. We've got it a little bit over. We're at 5 minutes.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Heather. Okay, Shireen, just go ahead. So your amendment to the amendment is that the executive director shall also inform the Pacific National.
You're really garbled.
Mm-hmm. All that static isn't coming from my phone, though. It's somebody else's line that we're dealing with.
Whatever it is has cleared up.
Okay, because, I mean, I can still hear tapping and what sounds like wires being dragged. Your amendment, Serene, to the amendment is that the executive director shall also inform the national board of all expenditures at the local level, unbudgeted.
Where Brian has at the Pacifica National Office, simply make it at the Pacifica National Office or any unit.
Gotcha. Or any unit. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry, there was one other. Benito, go ahead, Benito. We are over 5 minutes. Benito, go ahead, and Tracy, we got to take a vote. Go ahead, Benito.
Yeah, I've been hesitating making this statement, but based on what Lucette said earlier, it would seem to me, and I guess that this is sort of like an amendment to the amendment to the amendment to I don't know how many amendments, but if what we're trying to achieve is some kind of PMB oversight over the activities of the national office, well, it would seem to me that we should, to be consistent, then we should also be concerned with LSBs being able to have oversight over the GM. And this, of course, is based on what Lucette said earlier. And so I don't know, maybe between Serene and Brian.
Point of order, Madam Chair. This is not germane to anything that we're talking about.
Okay, Richard. And Benito, let me answer your question. The policy that managers are required to inform their LSBs already exists. It isn't being adhered to, which was the, in my opinion, the genesis of this motion, saying that the managers have to inform the ED. Because, in fact, they weren't informing the local level necessarily when these expenditures occurred. So
okay.
The policy does exist, but it's they're only as good as we enforce them, you know?
Okay.
Thank you. Tracy, last word. We got to take a vote. I told you I'd let you say your last word. Go ahead.
Okay. Last word. I wanted to correct Brian's statement that the national office was $350,000 over, as I think I sent to everyone in a long 9-page document. Those numbers were erroneous. They included health insurance benefits for 4 out of the 5 stations, which are not national office expenses and have been credited to the national office, and also included the station's FSRN contributions, which are also not a national office expense. So the number is less than half of that. In addition, I mean, I hear what people are saying about oversight, but really the intent of the motion as it was developed was really far more about communication and about timely communication regarding cash flow concerns. The board in and of itself does not have the ability to address cash flow issues at stations. It's the national office that has to do that. In other words, informing us someone spent $20,000 more at KPFK than they had is really only a sort of after the problem alert so we can get mad. The issue of where that $20,000 is going to come from is a staff issue. It's an executive issue. And it seems to me that, you know, we perform oversight. We have financial statements. They're provided to us, or they will be provided to us very soon by our new CFO, I hope. And you look at those statements, and they tell you when a station spent more than it was budgeted. We have our expenses, we have our budget, we have our actual, we have our discrepancies. It's a whole column in red. It happens at our stations probably about 40 times per quarter, and at least, maybe more. And there are reasons, and some are good, and some are not so good. But what it comes down to is we are informed. The issue is the problem solving if these discrepancies cause a cash flow concern. Because if the national office isn't told there's going to be a cash flow problem because I had to spend all this money I wasn't planning on spending, then
Tracy,
they can't
up.
Be prepared.
Tracy.
Yeah, and
Tracy,
that's really what the
up.
Issue is here.
Okay, thank you. Heather,
we're going to go to a vote. Janice, can I call the question, please?
Thank you, Janice. I was just saying we were going to a vote. There's some real static on this line. Okay, so we have an amendment and an amendment to the amendment and the main motion. And I could swear I almost have my rabbits just for this. Okay.
Was Serene's amendment ever seconded?
I seconded it.
Okay,
Margie. Okay, so let's take a vote on Serene's amendment. And then we'll take a vote on Brian's amendment as amended, if Serene's amendment makes it. And then we'll take a vote on the main motion, whether or not amended, however that turns out. Okay, so the first amendment.
May we do that?
Yes, please. So the first thing you're going to vote on is Serene Roberts' amendment, which inserts into Brian's amendment for any unit, correct? So if you support that, vote yes. If you not, vote no or abstain. Go ahead, Mr. Serene.
Okay. All right. This is for Serene's amendment. Rezon.
Yes.
Grimshaw.
No.
Medina. Brenda, can't hear you.
Yes.
Alan? Oh, that was Brenda. Okay.
Yes, sorry.
Alan? Teresa, can't hear you.
Teresa says no.
Polinar?
No.
Mitchell? Giselle, no. Burton?
No.
Can hear you.
No.
I got you. Coleman?
No.
Roberts?
Yes.
Can hear you, sweetie. Go ahead.
Yes.
Saba? Manage? Can't hear you, Manage. Can't hear you, Manage. Gray? Gray?
No.
Lane Ewart?
No.
Edward Stinkert?
No.
Oh. Rosenberg?
No.
Wilkerson.
Yes.
Diaz.
Epstein.
King. Is that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now. Go.
Epstein.
Norman.
Yes.
Stitt.
Epstein.
Oh, you're there. Okay, cool.
I'm here. Sorry.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Did anybody pass? I don't think so.
Did you get mine, Manager?
No, the amendment fails.
Abstain.
Yes.
Five yes, ten no,
and four abstentions.
Thank you. The amendment to the amendment fails. Now we will vote on the amendment. I'm sorry, it was five yes, ten no, and four abstentions. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. So the next up will be the amendment from Brian Edwards Tekert, requiring the executive director to notify the national board anytime an expenditure, an unbudgeted expenditure exceeds $5,000. If you support that, then vote yes. If you do not, vote no or abstain. Mr. Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. Thank you.
Okay. Gray?
No.
Lane York?
Yes.
Edward Speaker?
Yes.
Rosenberg?
No.
Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson. Diaz?
I'll pass for a moment.
Okay. King?
I abstain.
Norman?
Yes.
Stitch?
Abstain.
Brazon?
Yes.
Grimshaw?
No.
Grimshaw? Medina?
Yes.
Allen?
No.
Alinar?
No.
Mitchell? Uzel, no. Burden?
No.
Coleman?
I'll pass.
Roberts? Green, can't hear you. Saba?
Abstain.
Abstain. Serene, I couldn't hear you. And then back here, Coleman, we got a pass?
Yes, yeah, for now.
I'm sorry, yes.
Oh, you got a yes on. Okay, Serena, I got it.
Thank
Coleman?
You.
What's that?
It's your vote.
I said I'd pass till for a minute.
Yeah, well, it's over. It's time to.
Oh, okay.
To
I'll abstain.
And Diaz passed.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. I'm going to abstain.
Seven yes. Seven no. And five abstentions. Seven, five. Let me recount that just to be sure.
I'm sorry. This is Brenda. I have four abstentions. I don't know if I'm missing something.
Yeah, you're right. No? Other five. Diaz, King, Stitt, Coleman, and Sabah.
Thank you.
Okay, 775. It's a tie.
775, so the amendment fails. Now we are on to the main motion. The main motion is that general managers shall report to the, it says, national office for unbudgeted obligations in excess of $5,000. If you support the motion, then vote yes. If you do not, then vote no or abstain. Mr. Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. Thank you.
Edward Secret.
Pass.
Brian. Rosenberg.
Yes.
Wilkinson.
I'm abstain.
Okay, Diaz?
Yes.
King?
was that? Can you hear you?
Oh, so, abstain. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Norman?
Yes.
Sid? Sid?
Sorry, abstain.
Okay. Resign?
No.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Medina?
No.
Alan? Can't hear you, Teresa. Can't hear you, Teresa. Apollinar?
Alan says yes.
Okay. Apollinar?
Yes.
Mitchell? Uzel, yes. Burden?
Yes.
Coleman?
Abstain.
Roberts?
No.
Saba?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Lane Ewart?
Abstain.
Can I change my vote?
Is that Lizette? Yeah.
I say no.
Okay. Chen, yes. Four, no. Four, six. Oh, it's Brian passed. I'm sorry. Brian?
I'll join the abstainers.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. The motion carries, and we will go to the next motion. Thank you. Okay, so the next motion on the agenda from the FRAT, item 2, staff handbook revisions pending legal HR approval. Move that the PNB adopt the revised staff handbooks to replace the 1996 staff handbook and provide a volunteer handbook. Handbooks shall replace all previous versions and are to be distributed to all staff and volunteers. Staff?
Brian?
Brian? Move after Brian? Okay. Brian, go ahead.
I would like to move that these manuals be circulated to network paid and unpaid staff for comment for a 30-day period and referred to the personnel committee to be for any subsequent revisions.
Second.
Second.
Can you hear me?
That's second from King. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that again, please?
Go ahead,
yes.
Brian.
Circulate to network paid and unpaid staff for a 30-day comment period and then refer to the personnel committee for revisions.
And I need the
for any revisions.
Okay. I need the wording on both of the motions sent to me, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you. That's just one motion, though, correct, Brian?
That's correct.
And
thank you.
I need the wording from the other one. I've been trying.
Right.
To.
And
okay. Thank you. Okay. King is the second. And Brian, did you wish to motivate before I go to King?
Yeah. I think we have a pretty sweeping personnel manual in front of us. I understand the intention is to shield the network from liability, but it has a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with that, including for the first time ever a gag rule that would bar employees from talking to the press about Pacifica, including restrictions on what both volunteers and employees can post on their own blogs and social media accounts about Pacifica, and it asserts copyright to the work of all unpaid staff. Now, I'm not saying those are bad positions, but I'm saying they're significant. They deserve discussion. So far, there has been none on this. We were told to keep it confidential from staff under false pretenses. It has only been discussed in a task force that was not elected, that meets only in closed session, which is a violation of CPB open meeting requirements when dealing with a policy document like this. And it shouldn't be voted through as a 10-minute agenda item until we actually hear from the people who will be affected by these policies. That's our staff and our volunteers, and they deserve to at least have input in this process.
Thank Thank you, Brian. I will go to Lizette King next. I'll take a stack, and I'm going to put myself on at the end of the stack to make a comment about this. Lizette?
Summer, I'd also like to be on the stack. This is Janice.
Of course, Janice. I'll put you on right after Lizette. Thank you. Lizette, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Good. I would like to endorse everything that Brian has just said. And I'm getting very concerned at the culture in Pacifica of gagging people. This is not what Pacifica is about. It's to shine the light on truth. And we can't go on the air talking about speak power to truth or whatever the saying is. And we hear having closed door meetings behind closed doors that would affect the wider membership, and we're not doing anything about it. I'm also concerned at the exclusion of the LSB. Yes, we are committees of the PNB, but that does not mean that we should not be consulted. And I would agree with Brian, and I'll be voting for this. If I want to join a secret order, I know where they are, and I'll go join them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Janice Lee-Newitt.
Thank you. I'll make this pretty brief. In the organizations in which I've served or served on boards, it has often been a matter of professional courtesy and organizational transparency to share a personnel handbook or document with the individuals to be affected, allowing them to give some input. Understanding that final decision-making on the document would rest with the managers or the boards of directors with consultation by lawyers to make sure that it's meeting the EEOC requirements, et cetera. I would suggest that we provide the same opportunity to staff of the Pacifica stations that are typically provided at other nonprofits that are working to be accountable and transparent. Thank you.
Margie for the stack.
Yeah, Benita for the stack.
Okay, Margie and then Benita. Go ahead, Margie.
Well, I couldn't agree more with what Janice just said, and I want to say that I worked for 40 years for the University of California, which is a fairly repressive employer, and nevertheless, very often policies which were to be implemented that affected sometimes only faculty were circulated for review and discussion. I would also say that I think it's terribly important in this situation that the managers at the station, who have never, as far as I know, been consulted about this, have a chance to look at this. They're the guys who are going to have to implement it, and they need to know what it says and what it means and how it works. So I fully support Brian's motion.
Thank you, Margie. Benito?
Yeah, I also support the motion. You know, it would seem to me that the wording of that motion is the very minimum that we should be about doing. And I'm very concerned to hear that the document was if this is the case, that the document was proposed or written by an entity that does stuff under under closed doors and all this kind of stuff. You know, it would seem I wonder why it is that I understand that in every organization there has to be a certain amount of control, and you have to have, in a people's organization, you have to have freedom, but you also have to have a certain amount of responsibility too. You know, and I'm assuming that the folks who wrote this stuff are trying to exert that responsibility. You know, and so that's legit, but you have to have a balance here. And what I see in Pacifica is a shift to the, not even a shift, but a race to the right, and a race to muzzle people. And so we have to be very concerned, you know, about these kind of moves. And again, I'm not trying to say that there shouldn't be some kind of control. You know, we can't have crazy people going out and, you know, saying anything into the street. But on the other hand...
Benito, your time's up.
Can okay. I speak, Janet?
If I can just finish my sentence.
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, I think that what motivates people to go to the airwaves a lot of time is a result of managerial policies. And so if management wasn't, you know, doing something that was out of line, folks wouldn't have a reason to do that.
Manager on stack, please.
Okay, thank you, Benito. Janet, and then Monige. Janet, go ahead.
I must say I agree with all the speakers that all of the tendencies towards repression and punitive actions to our free producers, our producers who are there to speak freely on the air, that's their main purpose to be there, that's the reason that they work for nothing, is dangerous to this organization, and they should be watched really carefully.
Thank you, Janet. Monige?
Summer, I'd like to be on the stack as well. This is Heather.
Certainly, Heather. Thank you. Monige and then Heather, go ahead.
And Carolyn on the stack, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead, Monige.
I agree with everybody who talks about transparency. I think it's absolutely important. And we have to come up. I understand, and I understand what Benito said about the, you know, the responsibility and obligations and all of those considerations. But at the same time, I would like to add to seeing lawyers looking at it. I would like us to have, if the issues come up that we people are concerned and we can have come to agreement on it. At some time, I would like to talk to some people who deals with ethics and management and all that, so we can really figure these things out. I know it's very difficult that, especially my experience with Pacifica and BAI is that people, because this is a media and this is a public open, the mission of Pacifica is to be open and transparent and give information and inform the public. We cannot become secretive out of fear. But at the same time, I know that many people, rumor mill is very strong, at least from BAI that I know and from other places I hear, that people spread rumors and this goes like a brush fire all the time and goes all over and people constantly put things on Internet and considering the fact that BAI Pacifica, if it functions well, powers it's some food for those people who don't want Pacifica away. I'm sure they're already existing within amongst us and try to sabotage the work of Pacifica anyway. And some of our problems from ourselves, but some of it come from outside. So we have to be very careful.
Marjane, your time's up.
I would vote for transparency, but I would like us to be more diligent about it.
Thank you, Monige. I couldn't quite hear the last thing you said. I heard transparency, and I couldn't hear the other words.
Yeah.